Welcome back to Central Standard. I'm Gina Kaufman, sitting here now with the Fish Sisters, Samantha Fish and Amanda Fish. They're both blues musicians based out of Kansas City. Amanda's fairly new to the scene, but this weekend begins a big tour for Samantha, who's been making a national splash. She's just released a new album, Wild Heart. Hi, Samantha.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, and hello to you, Amanda.
Hello.
So I want to start by talking to you. I want to hear each of you describe the other's music. Amanda, I'll start with you. What is Samantha Fish's sound?
She's got some really cool stuff. It's very blues rock, swampy, driving, I think, energetic.
How would you define the word swampy?
Oh, God.
I'm making you do it because I love it.
I don't have the right adjectives too early in the morning.
Okay. Samantha, how would you describe the Amanda Fish sound?
She's kind of like powerhouse vocals, and she has a really hard rocking kind of a band, but she knows how to do these torchy songs as well. And yeah, I mean, it's just very hard driving kind of powerhouse vocals type stuff.
It's hard when you hear about two sisters, two people growing up in the same household who end up with a very similar kind of talent and kind of interest to not think there's something that was going on in this household and these people's childhood that did this, that created this magic. And I'm wondering if you can talk to me a little bit, both of you, about your upbringing and what you think within your upbringing influenced you individually. And we'll see if there's a connection there. Samantha?
Yeah. Look, our mom sang in church when we were growing up. And she kind of, I was telling somebody yesterday, she sort of ran this choir in this church, and she made us be in the choir. And she was the strictest. I mean, we were the best choir singers you can imagine. She ran a very tight ship with this choir. So I don't know. We kind of grew up singing in church a little bit, but then my dad played guitar, and his friends would come over, and they would do this kind of like a jammy sort of thing with each other, acoustic wise, and they do all these songs. And you know, for me, it was like this adult social thing that they did. And so when I started playing guitar, it was like joining that, you know, adult social circle.
So that's like what a grown-up did. And therefore, that's what you as a kid needed to like prepare for in order to
graduation.
Be a grown-up.
Yeah.
What do you think about this, Amanda?
Yeah, that's true. Our mom was very mean in choir. And
she just ran a tight ship, that's all.
Yeah, yeah. She was awesome. And Dad playing guitar with his friends, and yeah, that was, to me, that was normal socialization, not what was necessarily happening in school. That seemed much cooler. Seemed like a much better deal.
Well, we're going to hear some of you guys' music shortly, but Samantha, you have recently come out with an album that was recorded in, at least in part, in Willie Mitchell's Royal Studio in Memphis, Tennessee. This is one of the most renowned recording studios you could have gone to.
I know. It was we actually recorded the album in four different studios through the South. We recorded partially in Shreveport and then Independence, Mississippi, and then two studios in Memphis. And yeah, Willie Mitchell's studio, I mean, the history just pours through the walls there. I mean, there's such a vibe, and you know, his family's there, and Al Green's microphone is set up in the booth. The microphone he sang all those hits into, and those are that's the same mic we used on the album, you know, for the female backing vocals. I mean, it was a trip. It really was just the experience and getting to soak up that vibe and the culture on that album. I mean, it was once in a lifetime.
How would you characterize the vibe on your album Wild Heart?
Well, it's we moved around a lot. I started writing for the album, and I really wasn't focusing too much on fitting into a certain, you know, what I thought I needed to fit into. I just kind of like let come out what needed to come out. I worked with a collaborator, co-writer out of Nashville. His name's Jim McCormick.
And he's kind of a big deal, too.
He is. He's written some incredible hits for country music stars. And I mean, he's a wonderful person to work with, and we had a great chemistry. So, you know, the kind of the theme on this album for me was just growth and change, because it was the first time I used a different producer. Luther Dickinson produced it. And he really just encouraged me to, you know, say what I wanted to say and play how I normally play and sing how I normally sing. And that was kind of it was sort of this trust fall experience. You know, I had to really trust in my skills and my songs. And I just feel like an organic thing happened with this album, and it's very real and very raw and very natural.
Well, let's hear a song from this album. We won't hear the whole song, but a lot of it. We're going to hear Go Home.
Oh, thanks.
Go home. Go home.
Go home.
Never spoke a word about the things they stole. Wrapped those secrets around a telephone pole. Go home. Maybe in a moment of clarity, I see the light. Maybe I'll take my own advice for the first time.
Samantha Fish, when I hear this, I do hear the blues, but I don't strictly hear the blues. I mean, I hear country and I hear folk and I even hear, you know, like classic rock a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. That was kind of, like I said, the theme from before. I mean, I really wasn't, you know, maybe in the past I was really trying to fit into what I thought I needed to, you know, make... fit into a scene, and really I'm just trying to be myself, and there all those influences were a part of who I am and where I came from growing up, and I really just wanted to, you know, come up with my, you know, find my voice and everything through this album, and I'm working on it still.
Amanda, you have an album out as well. It came out in May, Down in the Dirt, and we're going to hear a song called Boots on the Ground. How would you contrast the song we're going to hear with the one we just heard?
Oh, they're completely different animals.
Totally different.
You know, Sam's is folky and blues singer-songwriter, classic rock sort of thing. And then mine is funky and rocking, and I don't know. But those are completely different. But I do have a song, I guess, on the album that could compare with Sam's a little bit, but this isn't it.
Okay, well, let's hear Boots on the Ground, and then we'll get into a little more of that discussion. This is Boots on the Ground by Amanda Fish from Down in the Dirt.
There's been a lot of talk going on these days. Seems like you had a lot to say.
Amanda Fish, there's like a real sort of like there's a fighter in this song, I feel like.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's about not wanting to hang out in an abusive situation any longer. And just, yeah, this sort of, I'll be better off out, even out of house, outdoors, just. I'll be better off out there just kind of making my own way and trying to survive rather than being here.
What is it that drives you when you write music and when you imagine a song?
Well, I kind of keep things inside until I can't stand it anymore, and then I write it down.
So it's an explosion.
I guess so.
What about you, Samantha? How does a song kind of emerge for you?
Usually through a personal experience or, you know, something I've heard. I mean, it all comes from a very personal place, you know. As far as my process for writing, it's so jumbled up. I don't have like a straight up process, you know. People ask all the time, do you get the melody? Do you get the lyrics? What do you get first, you know? Because I play guitar, so I write that part of the song into it already. But, you know... Yeah, I mean, a lot of those songs come from personal experiences, and you put it down as it comes, and, you know, maybe not necessarily the story that you're telling when the song is complete is your own, but it starts with a personal thought, personal idea, personal experience, yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like you both are motivated by personal experience and using music to express those things, yeah. But they come out in kind of different ways. How would you say that, you know, within the family, what are the two kind of roles that you guys play in that universe, in the universe of the family or in home?
This is going to turn into a therapy session.
I promise it won't.
Oh, boy. Right.
What's your role, Amanda?
I think we were both kind of loners. I think we were independent experiencers. Don't contradict me. I know what that is.
I didn't say anything.
She said she was going to contradict everything I said.
You did shake your head.
I did?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, we were both independent experiencers.
I was the good kid. She was the bad kid.
That's true.
That's the role.
I was the bad kid.
No, she wasn't.
Yes, did you develop your musical styles together? Or
no.
Talk about it.
We were very independent experiencers. We would both be in our bedrooms, you know, listening to our radios and on different stations, you know, things like that. We both started kind of from the same place. And then and then the moment that we sort of had any kind of sense of musical taste, we developed independently from there.
We'll pick right back up with the Fish sisters, Amanda Fish and Samantha Fish, both blues musicians, but separately, when we return. I'm Gina Kaufman. Don't go away. Welcome back to Central Standard. I'm Gina Kaufman here with Samantha Fish and Amanda Fish. Samantha Fish's album is Wild Heart, and Amanda Fish's album is Boots on the Ground. Samantha is kicking off is Down in the Dirt. Boots on the Ground is a song from that album. Samantha Fish has a tour coming up, and it'll be kicking off with a show this Saturday night in Kansas City at Crossroads KC. So talk to me more about being sisters growing up, developing musical abilities, but kind of separately. I mean, were you each kind of like holed up separately doing the same thing?
I think it was just kind of, I mean, one of those things. I mean, we would come together occasionally and share stuff, but I think we both have this like, you know, we both lead our own bands. So I think that there's that sort of, she calls it loner. I just call it like a leader thing.
We're very involved. Alpha.
It's like a little competitive, you know. Like I would start playing a song, and she would put her Amanda-ness on it, and I'd be like, "That's not how it goes," you know. So there's that kind of, I don't know, combative aspect to it at times. But I think that's what kids do. There was a lot of that going off on our own, and
yeah, like if Venus and Serena Williams were here, they probably made each other better tennis players.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
With that same,
it's kind of like a competitive vibe, but not really. I don't know. It's a sibling thing. And so, you know, she kind of would go off and, you know, lock herself in a room and stuff and sing and practice. And I would do the same thing.
True. Yeah. No, I'll just confirm everything.
Amanda, what has it been like to watch your sister's career take off the way it has in recent months? I mean, with this tour coming up and with an album recorded in this really venerable recording studio. What is it like to observe that?
Well, just seeing her be amazing for, you know, the last 7-8 years, and she just continued to progress. I mean, the first time she went to Europe was amazing. The first time she went on the blues cruise was amazing. You know, like, she does incredible things, and she's achieved so much. When she won a BMA, watching her, I have no sense of ownership or pride, because I feel like if you're proud of somebody, you're trying to own their moment. And I had no sense of that, but I was so happy for her, and it was just an incredible thing to watch, because she totally owned every accomplishment. Yeah.
Are there themes that you two share in your songwriting that you think come from the shared experiences you've had growing up?
Oh yeah, I mean, I really do. I think, you know, we had different experiences growing up, but we grew up in the same house. You know, overall, there's definitely a vibe to the, you know, the songwriting and everything. Mm-hmm. We're a little different in our approaches, but I mean, of course, I think there's some shared experiences that are going to bleed into the songwriting. And, you know, we came from the same house, so I think that's unavoidable.
Tell me about that household.
Well, it was, I don't know. Sorry. We were kind of, like I said, sort of independent. Sam disagrees with the word loner. I felt pretty
loner's fine word. I
felt kind of, you know, like a very sort of not like a lonely kid, but I was just sort of isolated a lot. So that was kind of, I don't know, my childhood was different from hers.
In what way would you say?
I was more isolated. I tended to isolate myself a lot more. I didn't have very many friends. And so socially, I was not very, very well adjusted.
Were there like struggles that you guys went through for as a family or triumphs that you think are, I don't know, like places that you return to?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, yeah,
sure.
You know, everybody's got, because we did the pre, you know, the conversation, and I think everybody has struggles growing up. I mean, there's families just naturally come with drama and issues, and mm-hmm. you know, our parents got divorced when we were young, so I mean, there was that. But there are triumphs. You know, there's hardships. There were triumphs. There's a lot. You know. That went on that I think still fuels and influences our songwriting today. Yeah. I think so. Yeah.
What are some of your like musical, we've talked about musical influences and that they come from all over the map, really. Amanda, what are some of your main musical influences? Like, what were you listening to growing up?
So this is where you can see the difference, because we might have the similar experiences, but our influences separate us. Like my influences were more like Paul Simon. I loved Simon and Garfunkel from the time I was 11.
So, that is so funny, though, having just heard some of your music, because they're so like gentle and they're so peaceful.
Oh yeah, no, there's more. There's Paul Simon, and then I progressed into Harvey Danger, so Sean Nelson, and then I progressed into Nine Inch Nails.
And you are wearing a Nine Inch Nails hat, I have noticed.
It's my favorite hat. Yeah, and I really fell in love with Trent Reznor's songwriting, because he was very descriptive and sort of very visceral. And then from there, I was wondering who his influences were and went back to Tom Waits. And that's actually kind of how our parents had us in blues when we were young, playing like Bonnie Raitt, Stevie Ray Vaughan, and things like that. And then I ended up coming back to the blues through songwriting.
Full circle, like yeah. Based on that sort of launching pad of Tom Waits?
Well, yeah, eventually it came to Tom Waits. Like it progressed up and then back down, like, yeah, in a weird circle from Tom Waits back into blues songwriting. And I could relate to it from a more adult experience level.
Yeah, because it is interesting that when I hear your influences, the what you were listening to for all this time was not really what I would call the blues.
Oh yeah, that was like my teenage years, and by the end of the teenage years, we went out to Helena, and that was for King Biscuit, and that was sort of like what really brought me back into the fold with that, and I started falling back in love with it.
Samantha, did you have a journey like that of your own? What were your influences?
I really dug, like, I mean, I listen to classic rock a lot. You know, the Rolling Stones, Tom Petty, stuff like that. And I loved country music. I loved, you know, I listened to a lot of stuff. Like, our parents listened to John Hyatt a lot. John Hyatt, and then, of course, Tom Waits. And then I got into blues. I really fell, like, we went down to Helen, and I fell in love with the North Mississippi, like Arl Burnside, Junior Kimbrough type music. And I think the reason for that is because growing up to listening to like rock and roll and stuff, it kind of merged my ideas of blues and rock and roll, because like those guys are attitude all the way, you know, take no prisoners kind of music. And, you know, that's really what led me to Luther in North Mississippi, All Stars, and, you know, the production of my last album, because I just fell in love with that kind of music.
Do you talk to me about the blues scene in Kansas City, especially like by comparison with blues scenes in other cities?
Oh, we have a really good diverse scene here. You know, Kansas City does have a sound. I think there's bands that do a lot of Kansas City type blues, like Trampled Underfoot did. I mean, they were very, they had a lot of blues rock influences, but they would kind of stay true to that Kansas City sound too. But it's kind of a loose term anymore. It's like, what is Kansas City blues now? I think it's diverse. We have a lot of great players. We have a good scene. It ebbs and flows like everywhere else, but you know.
When you say diverse, do you mean diverse musically, or like as in who is performing and who's listening?
It's both. I mean, the performers, they come from diverse backgrounds. Like, I mean, Katie Guillen, for instance, she's like, I think she's got like a background in flamenco guitar. Yeah. And I mean, you can hear it in her playing, you know. So these guys, it's kind of like, it's, I think it's similar to us. Like, we have all these different musical influences and it sort of comes together and converges into this version of blues.
It's progressing.
Yeah. And there's a lot of great bands out of here that they've got their own sound.
When I think of the blues, and maybe this just says more about me than it says about the blues, but I think of like Robert Johnson and Lead Belly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that music has such a connection with a racial experience and
Absolutely.
A historical experience. How would you say that the blues, I mean, is it a continuum from those days?
Blues is kind of rudimentary. It's not rudimentary, but it's very it takes very basic ideas and puts a lot of heart behind them in a lot of ways. But it's such a vast, diverse genre that I can't say anything, any broad sweeping generalized statements about it. But yeah, you know, I think it's still relevant, I guess.
I think so, as far as relating back to where it originally came from. Absolutely. You know, those ideas, those struggles, mm-hmm. I mean, it's all a part of where it came from. So, you know, I'd say, yeah, you're right on the money. There's still, you know, it's still rooted in that area. But you know, everybody understands, everybody can feel the passion, emotion, and those ideas. And I think that's why people are drawn to it, is because they can connect with it. It's a really honest, true form of music. And it's American, you know, it's completely, you know, it's an American art form.
I feel like I hear you saying that struggle is this key ingredient, whether and no matter whose struggle it is.
Mm-hmm. Everybody struggles. That's like, you know, we were talking about every family's got drama. Everybody struggles. Everybody has something, you know, to get off their chest. And, you know, the blues, where it came from, it was something to alleviate the pain that, you know, people were feeling through the, you know, racial oppression back in the day. And I think that that's still true. It alleviates this hardship.
What are you looking forward to, Samantha, in your upcoming tour?
Oh, just touring is great, you know? We get to see the world and get to see all kinds of new faces. And it's really great to get to bring some Kansas City to the rest of the world. So
that's all the time we have for today's show. Samantha Fish has a gig this Saturday at Crossroads KC to kick off her upcoming tour. Good luck, Samantha.
Thank you very much.
And Amanda Fish, all the best to you. It's been so great meeting you and hearing about your family.
Thank you.
You can listen back to this show, either conversation you heard this morning, at kcur.org/centralstandard. We'll have that ready for you later today. Sign up for our podcast while you're there, and you will never miss an episode. Tomorrow, the food critics return. Stay tuned for that. It'll be tomatoes, corn, peaches, all sorts of locally seasonal produce. That's tomorrow at 10. Central Standard is produced by Matthew Long Middleton and Sylvia Maria Gross. I'm Gina Kaufman. That's it for today's show, but stick around for Up to Date. Steve Kraske will have that for you just in a minute. I'm Gina Kaufman. That's it. He don't want to hear the songs I have to play. He judges my